Feely Show on Live Local First, 790 KFGO and KFGO.com.
I have had a pretty good day already, being me, Mike McFeely, because I have been in the middle of Devil's Lake, North Dakota for much of the morning after driving up here from Fargo-Moorhead earlier today. Went through a little freezing rain, I'll admit that, on Highway 2 between Lakota and Devil's Lake earlier today. But after that went through, it has been sunny skies and a very nice day. And I'm broadcasting today from the shores of Devil's Lake from Woodland Resort. And you might ask, why, Mike, why on a Friday in January are you at Devil's Lake at Woodland Resort? And the reason is because tomorrow I'm going to be fishing in a tournament, the Wounded Warriors Guide Service Fishing Tournament. It is a fundraiser for a very cool organization, the Wounded Warriors Guide Service, that provides free guiding service for veterans who have been injured, and many of them very severely, fighting wars, so that jamokes like me can have the freedom to be fishing on a Friday morning on Devil's Lake, and then coming in and preparing for my show on the mighty 790 KFGO. And we'll talk more about that. We'll talk more about the Wounded Warriors Guide Service Fishing Tournament coming up in the 3 o'clock hour with the tournament chairman, the director, David Morse, and we'll find out. There's still room in the tournament, and so if you're don't have anything going tomorrow, you still have time to sign up. You still have time to drive to Devil's Lake. It's only 2.5 hours from Fargo-Moorhead, so head on up. The fish are biting. I can tell you that. I did have some luck this morning. The fish are biting, and you can get up here tomorrow and take a chance at winning some great prizes. But we'll talk more about that later in the program on the Mike McFeely Show. But before we get to anything else, I do need to bring in my first guest here this afternoon. I'm going to talk with Ryan Gellner, a gentleman who I spent a lot of time with watching him bust his buns down in Frisco, Texas, doing all kinds of stuff for KFGO, for the Bison Tailgate and Bison Rewind show. Ryan's done a great job with that award-winning program, and he has what I think is going to be an award-winning program coming up tonight on KFGO, and I wanted to give Ryan some time on this program to talk about that. Hello, Mr. Ryan Gellner. How are you on this beautiful Friday?
Well, not on the shores of Devil's Lake by any means. I kind of wish I was wet in the line this afternoon, but I'm doing well.
It's amazing how much better people's moods are on a day like today, because it's, I don't know what the temperature, it must be 25, 28 degrees in Devil's Lake. I assume it's probably around 30 in Fargo. Yeah. It feels like it's 90 outside. It's wonderful.
Yeah, it's awesome. Jeez, to be out on that ice today or last night, as you may have been, I am absolutely jealous, that's for sure.
Next time you can come up with me. We always have spots here at Woodland Resort and on Devil's Lake with me. You bet. It's open invitation for you to come up anytime you want.
Awesome.
Tell us about what's going on tonight, Ryan, on KFGO. 6 o'clock, I believe, is the starting time. You have a very special program coming up that you've been working hard on this week.
Yeah, we call it the Bison Rewind, looking back at the third national championship, kind of replaying a year that was and really focusing mostly on that championship game. We have a handful of North Dakota State student-athletes in, and some of the guys from the offense break down some of the plays in that football game, and we have some of the defensive players that will join us and chat a little defense, and we talk to the next head coach of the Bison, Chris Kleiman, and so just kind of got our hands around the national championship game, spent an hour or so with all of them, and we'll do it tonight from 6 to 7 on the mighty 790 KFGO.
No, I know that you've had a chance to talk with some of them beforehand just to kind of set up the interviews and line some things up. What's your sense that you get from some of those guys, Ryan? Are they still riding the high from the national championship game, or are they ready to say, you know, that was a great chapter in our life and we're ready to move on now and move on with other things?
Yeah, you know, I think it's a little bit of both. I think they realize that having done this three times, how special that is. And I think when you can tell when they talk about it, they're still passionate about it. But at the same time, I think some of them are ready to move on to the next phase. For some of those seniors, the next phase is coming awfully quick. Brock Jensen signed an agent, and he's on his way to San Diego to do some workouts. Ryan Smith wants to make it at the next level. Levon Perry wants to make it at the next level. And they've kind of gone from, yep, we won that and feel great about it, love to talk about it. But they realize that they're wasting time by not working towards the next level. Then I think the younger generation, the juniors that we talked to for the program, they are living this up a little bit more, holding on to it a little bit more. And you know, have this little downtime right now before they start going into their football season next year. So those guys may be living it a little bit longer than the seniors are doing, and you might expect the opposite, but those seniors, I talked to Brock Jensen, I said, do you feel like you're a freshman again? He said, you know, that's a great way to put it, because we are at the bottom of the totem pole, and now we have to prove ourselves all over again.
Do you think that he has a chance to play professionally, either in the NFL or in the CFL? Do you think that Brock Jensen has that type of ability? Because, you know, you can talk all you want about Jimmy Garoppolo and all these other big-time FCS quarterbacks, and there's no doubt Garoppolo will get a chance with somebody. He might even be drafted in the first few rounds of the NFL draft. But the bottom line is, Ryan, is that Brock Jensen got it done every single time he was asked to get it done. Does that make a difference when NFL scouts look at these guys?
You know, I think just a little bit. It might give him one nod if they're deciding between a couple of different guys. But let's be honest, when it boils down to things, these NFL scouts, they're going to go after talent and what they see. Now, I do know this about Brock. He's one of the hardest workers, and when he sets his mind to something, he seems to get it done no matter what the odds are. So I wouldn't count him out. I think when you look at his stats, nothing blows you off the page other than the wins, which, of course, is what every NFL team wants, is wins. But I think you're right. How much do you look at that? How much do you compare it to passing yards? Because he doesn't have a ton of passing yards. He doesn't have a ton of touchdowns. He doesn't have a ton of rushing yards. But he's got a whole bunch of wins, and that's got to count for something. And I don't know that he's been opened up as much as he would like to be. And I don't say that, you know, bashing NDSU or anything like that. But I think Brock's a quarterback that I don't know if we fully know his skill set quite yet. NDSU used him very effectively, but I'd like to sit back and watch Brock go through some of these NFL practices and whatever they do to get ready for some people the combine and some people just pro days. But I'd like to see him open it up a little bit, see what he can do, you know, with his arm, because we haven't seen a lot of that at NDSU.
And I don't know if it's a fair comparison, but Steve Walker came before Brock Jensen, and Steve never had a chance to compete for national championships at North Dakota State because he was there during the transition time. But Steve Walker had won all kinds of games, nothing like Brock Jensen, but won all kinds of games, had the knack for winning football games, but never really got that shot. And I don't think that Steve Walker, he's still living in Fargo, he has a job, he has a family. I don't think that he ever, you know, was really one of those guys on a lot of radar screens. But I don't know if that's a fair comparison or not, but in some ways it might be that you have a guy who's in a system who wins a lot of football games, who has talent, no question, but probably when it comes to being an NFL quarterback, maybe not going to happen for some of these kids.
Yeah, and I do think that is a pretty fair comparison. And you talk about drive and all of those things and avenues. Maybe some more avenues have been opened up because of the three national championships, and I would say they have because of the ESPN appearances. And from a national spotlight, Brock Jensen certainly has a lot more national spotlight than Steve Walker ever did, and that's no fault of Steve. That's just the era that they played in, you know, only playing, 7-8 years apart. But it's just the way things have changed, and it is certainly leaning towards Brock. And there's a whole bunch of North Dakota State football players that are going to try to make it at the next level, whether it be CFL or NFL, and you've got to think a couple have pretty good shots. And a couple, if they want to go that way, I think could play in the CFL. I know plenty of them could play in the Arena Football League. It just kind of depends on what your goals are right now and what you're willing to do outside of college football.
Ryan Gellner, our guest on the Mike McFeely Show, we're talking about a very special program he has coming up tonight at 6 o'clock on KFGO. It is the Bison Three Wind program, Ryan is calling it. He is, of course, the host of the Bison Tailgate Show before Bison football games and the host of my favorite, the Bison Rewind Show, after Bison football games, when you, the fans and listeners, get to call in and voice your opinions or your comments about Bison football. When you look back at that title game, Ryan, it was a week ago tomorrow. You and I were both there at Toyota Stadium in Frisco, Texas. What's the moment that stands out for you from that game as you look back on it just a week later? And if you've had a chance to talk to some of these kids already, what did you pick up from them that their remembrance or their memory of that game is?
For me, I'll start with me. I think the fan inside me, the moment was everybody on the field, the crowd, the mass of people coming down to the stands and celebrating as one. I think that's one moment that I'll always remember from the fan side. As far as putting on a reporter hat, I think I would lean back to probably the blocked field goal, maybe the interception as the turning point of that football game, and maybe so the interception. I think the blocked field goal was different, but the interception was set up. It was 14-7 with the C.J. Smith interception, and that made it shortly after that 21-7. I think after that, you kind of breathed a little bit easier and went, okay, now I see what's happening. So for me, it's those two plays. And the players I talked to, let's see, I'm trying to think. We talked quite a bit about that blocked field goal and just taking the pressure off the offense is what the defense did time after time. They did it all season long. And they, too, went back to that interception, and they talked about, or they will talk about, you'll hear them tonight, I'm sure, they talk about just the pressure being off the offense once that interception happened. They went, okay, we've got a touchdown to play with. We can punch another one in. And now this game is ours to take. And I think from that moment on, they were just a lot looser on offense and could do their thing.
Yeah, I agree with you for the most part. I thought that the blocked field goal, for me, just as somebody watching the game, that was kind of the turning point. I know the interception was big because it did set up the touchdown to kind of give them a little cushion. But the blocked field goal, to me, and the big return by Kyle Emanuel just sort of changed the momentum of the game. It was 7-7 at that point, and Terrence West had some success running, and he was kind of being pretty cocky with the NDSU fans, and he kind of felt like, man, you know, he thought, this guy is really good, and he's ready to go. And when Colton Hegel blocked that field goal and then Emanuel scooped it up and ran deep into Towson territory, I kind of went, wow, that's a huge, huge play. And then the part that – it's interesting you bring up the fact after the game, the crowd running on the field, because I had made it a point for myself as a reporter, as a talk show host, to grab my video camera and stand right next to the Bison bench. And I said, okay, I'm going to get this from a human perspective. I'm just going to hold my camera up over my head and run onto the field with the rush of people just to see what it's like. And it was kind of cool. And then when I saw the pictures, like the aerial photos of the stadium, and saw how many people were on the field, because I didn't have any perspective of how many people were on the field, there was like 15,000 people who ran onto the field. It was crazy. Yeah, I had no idea it was in the middle of that.
Gene Taylor told me he did the exact opposite. He was down on the field when the fans came on, and he said the last couple of seasons he hadn't seen it from above the field, and that was their plan, him and his family, that if they won, Gene was going to go head upstairs so he could look down on that for the first time because he had never seen it before other than in pictures. And he said for him, that was kind of the moment that did it for him. He held his family, put his wife on one arm and his daughter on the other arm, and they just kind of looked out there and sucked it all in, because for him, that was kind of the moment. That was it. This was, as we come to know it the last couple of years, Bison Nation and everything that he has built with his football team, with his family, with the athletic department, he was able to suck all that in. So it's kind of neat that you were down there and he was up top and both thinking maybe the same thing, but kind of on opposite ends.
Yeah, and I had been up top the last couple of years, and so I said this time, heck, I'm going to get down there and videotape it and record it and put it on my blog and let people see what it's like if they couldn't make it to Frisco to be in the middle of the fray. So it's kind of funny how that worked out. Ryan, 6 o'clock tonight, correct, on KFGO, 6 o'clock?
Yeah, it's a one-hour program. We start shortly after 6 o'clock, but, yeah, you can call it 6 o'clock all the way to 7 o'clock. And it's just a neat look back at the championship game. I think the neatest part is going to be going through, not play-by-play, but picking out maybe 7-8 highlights and then having not me analyze those highlights, but having the players themselves. You know, what did you think here? What was going through your mind here? Why did this play work? I think that's going to be the neatest part of the whole program is listening to Brock Chintz and Ryan Smith, those guys, go through that.
Got it. Thanks, Ryan. Great job, and great job this season. Way to go. Good job.
Thanks for the opportunity, bud.
Yep. You bet. Ryan Gellner, KFGO, Bison Tailgate, Bison Rewind. Pinto is screaming in my headsets right now.